F A
I
N
M
E
N
U Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Hello, welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. Tonight, we're going to be talking all about Apple's new Leopard operating system for the Apple Macintosh. During the first hour, we're going to be hearing a presentation from Kevin Reeves all about installing Leopard on the Mac. Then, in the Main Menu Live segment, we're going to be bringing on a number of Macintosh experts. Darcy and Holly from the Screenless Switchers podcast will be joining us, along with John Gunn, who we've had on Main Menu before, who's done some Macintosh work for us, as well as Kevin Reeves. Many of you will know him from a lot of his music. He'll be joining us as well. But first, we'd like to go ahead and get started with our news briefs section tonight. We have a lot to talk about, and to go ahead and do that for us, let's warmly welcome Matthew Horspool, who's going to be doing these segments for us here on Main Menu.
Leading news briefs this week, Apple have now released their new Macintosh OS X Leopard operating system, the successor of Macintosh OS X 10.4. or Macintosh OS X Tiger. For more information, you can stay tuned to this program. A new build of Freedom Scientific's JAWS for Windows version 9.0 public beta is out. Build 467, which was released by the company on Monday, the 5th of November, continues to fix issues reported by the public and make changes. Like other JAWS updates, it is available from the Check for Updates option in the JAWS Help menu, and further information is available on the Freedom Scientific website at www.freedomscientific.com. Additionally, the What's New in JAWS 9.0 audio recording has now been posted to the JAWS headquarters, also on the Freedom Scientific website. James Bowden of Worcestershire in the United Kingdom released version 1.52 of his free Quick Windows Sequencer program on Friday, October the 26th. As the name suggests, QWS is a free Windows MIDI sequencer developed and designed for use by the blind. New features in this update include a translatable user interface, swing functionality when quantizing, HTML help, and some bug fixes. More information is available on its website at qws.andrelouis.com. That's qws.andrelouis.com. Version 5.22 of the popular Goldwave audio editor has been released, with particular benefits to blind and partially sighted people. The author of the program has made several new accessibility improvements, which are documented in a new section of the manual. For more information or to download a demonstration version of the program, visit www.goldwave.com. Version 1.3 of Expressivo, a program which converts text into audio using a concatenated speech synthesizer, has now been released. This version of the software is capable of integrating with the iTunes software from Apple, so that any text converted by it is automatically added to the iTunes library and can therefore be copied to any iPod-like device very quickly. It uses the iVona text-to-speech synthesizer from Ivo Software on the web at www.ivosoftware.com. A sample of the voices can also be heard at say.expressivo.com. And more information about the Expressivo program itself can be found at www.expressivo.com. Code Factory have released a public beta of version 2.0 of their popular Mobile Speak and Mobile Magnifier products for Windows smartphones. This new version of the program includes a rewritten authorization scheme so that users can change phones without requiring a new license. It also includes improved Braille support, support for many more devices, and over 50 other enhancements. For more information, visit www.codefactory.es. The Sendera Group have released a new product they're calling Way to Go, a maps-only version of their popular BrailleNote GPS software, version 4 of which was released earlier this year. The product, whose name was chosen from a list of competition entries, has all of the features of the full BrailleNote GPS software except for the ability to use a GPS receiver, and is priced at $799 US, half the price of the full BrailleNote GPS software. More information can be found on the Sendero Group's website at www.senderogroup.com. IronCom is the name of the latest release from Jamal Masrui. The product is a programmer's tool which greatly extends the capabilities of many programming languages through use of the component object model. It can be obtained from www.empowermentzone.com/comsetup.exe. According to a press release from Dolphin Computer Access Limited, sponsor of ACB Radio World's coverage of the 8th General Assembly and Equality Forum of the European Blind Union, their Lunar Screen Magnification software was named the best screen magnifier at this year's California State University at Northridge CSUN conference. The company has announced a promotion in celebration. Purchase a Dolphin Pen Edition of Luna or Luna Plus and receive a free complimentary CD license in addition, saving $235 US on Luna or $355 US on Luna Plus. Dolphin have also released version 2.0 of their Easy Converter product, which was described on this program earlier this year. More information is available on their website at www.yourdolphin.com. The Ceratec Corporation, makers of System Access, formerly FreedomBox System Access, and System Access Mobile, formerly FreedomBox, are now making their complete product offering available for $39.95 US per month, with no commitments or obligations. Alternatively, customers can pay $24.95 US per month and own the product range after 4 years, although ongoing use of the System Access Mobile Network and continuing software upgrades will cost $129.95 per annum. More information is available on Cerotech's website at www.cerotech.com. And finally this week, Main Menu listeners are reminded that the parts of the United States that observe daylight saving time reverted to standard time, in other words, put the clocks back, at 2 o'clock a.m. local daylight time on Sunday, the 4th of November, 2007. Countries in the European Union that observe summer time reverted to standard time at 0100 hours UTC on Sunday, October 28th, 2007. This means that Main Menu will now effectively start an hour earlier at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, and Main Menu Live will start at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. That's news briefs for this week.
During our Main Menu Live segment, we'll bring you more news. Microsoft has just launched all of their new Live products, and we'll give you all of the details and some warnings about those products. They just launched just about an hour ago. That would have been 0 UTC on Wednesday morning. Now let's go ahead and get started with our presentation from Kevin Reeves.
Welcome to a guided install of the brand new Mac OS X Leopard. My name is Kevin Reeves, and what I'm going to do here is I have not installed this yet. I still have it in its beautiful little box, and we are going to install it together. The point being is that if we can, if I can install this without any problems, just not having done it before, then it should be easy for the rest of you that are about to get this. I know some of you in the Mac Visionaries community are waiting for your arrivals from UPS and FedEx and whatnot. And some of you guys are kind of waiting around for those of us early adopters to see what we come up with. So let's roll with this here. I've got the box. We're going to pull the heat shrink off and pull the heat shrink cellophane off of here, rather. And it's a small box. It's surprisingly really, really small. It is the size of the DVD itself. And so we're pulling this. The box has an outer, what looks like kind of an outer sleeve. I think that's what. No, it's not like an outer sleeve. It's, how does this come open? Oh, I get it. There's a piece of tape on this front. Okay, I think that's. Yeah, there appears to be like a piece of tape holding it. No, that's not it either. See, we're figuring this out as we go. Does it flip? Oh, I see. Okay, it is a flip-up top. There we are. Jeez. Now we're inside the box here. Let's pull this out. What is underneath here? Okay. Oh, that's what we have to do. It is kind of an... It was an outer sleeve with a flip-top thing. So we flip the top and we pull this out. Now we have this kind of... It's another box. And this lid flips up. And here's the DVD. But then what is in this little box? Let me assume that this is the installation guide. Let's find out here. We're just exploring all this together here. Yes, in here is a glossy, what appears to be the OS X manual on very glossy paper. So if you're keeping your install disk, this appears to be a really good solution for doing that. All right. I have the DVD out, and I am going to now place it in the drive. And while I'm doing that, let me just say this, that if you're going to do this, back up, back up, back up. That's what I've done. Everything is backed up using Carbon Copy Cloner, brilliantly accessible program with VoiceOver. Took me no time at all to figure it out. Now I've got the... I've got it in, and it's booting up. The drive, or the drive is spinning up. There it goes. And there's a couple of ways to...
Mac icon view, scroll through.
Okay, what it did is it brought the window up with the contents of the CD on it in the Finder. The Finder, for those of you who are listening on the Blind Cool Tech side of things, the Finder is like Windows Explorer. And I will say this, when we actually do a, or when I get this installed, I will then record for the Blind Cool Tech side of things a full-on demonstration of basic features with VoiceOver and Mac OS X Leopard. There are two ways to run this installer from what I've been told. Now, the first way is the way you used to do it, where you would restart the computer and boot up holding down the C key. Now, according to things that I've read online, in this one, all I have to do is find the install OS X icon in the Finder and run it, and then it will restart the machine booting from the DVD. So we're going to find out if that is the case. Again, this is a completely blind install in a sense that I've never done it before, for Leopard at least. I've done the Tiger one. So we don't know what's changed. We don't know what types of things are going to be different. It could be exactly the same. So nothing has been pre-rehearsed. We're going to have pitfalls on the way, and that's the fun of it. So let's find out what's in this DVD here.
Install Mac OS X. Selected application.
Oh, there it is. Install Mac OS X, and it's an application, so I'm just going to hit Command-O to open it.
Open.
And it's bringing, spinning the DVD up.
Install Mac OS X. Install Mac OS X. Window. Click the button below to restart your computer and begin the installation process.
All right, so we'll just go to that
restart button.
Click
press
it.
Restart button.
And
authenticate window. Install Mac OS X requires that you type your password.
All right, so it wants my password. All right.
Install it. Restarting.
And now it's going to restart, and instead of booting from the internal drive, it's going to boot from the DVD. While it's restarting, let me explain that this is a full-on talking install. The way that this works is that it allows you to, when you boot up via the DVD, it boots up completely into the OS from the DVD. So the way that it works is that you can run many of the components of the OS from the DVD. So I can run VoiceOver while doing the install, and that's what I'm going to do. We're waiting for it to boot in. I don't know how long this takes on this MacBook. This is a new MacBook that I just bought a couple months back, so I'm used to doing it on the G4 where it takes a couple minutes. So again, I don't hear any activity. So let me try Command F5. Nothing yet. It's probably still loading. And since it's booting from the DVD, it's probably not going to render the OS as fast. As it does. Let's try Command F5 again. No dice. Okay. Let me see if this is an issue with this external keyboard. Oh, nope, I can still hear it. Okay. I'm getting impatient is what the deal is. No worries. It's just taking longer than it should. All right, let's nope, it's still the head is still moving on the DVD player. Now I've hit Command F5 again, and I hear the DVD moving. So I wonder if that's loading VoiceOver. Golly, what is the deal here?
VoiceOver on. Language chooser. Window. Language chooser. Table. Has keyboard focus.
Okay. We now are in the VoiceOver install. Let me turn the volume up on this MacBook so that we get a little more volume out of this. It's not doing it. Well, I'll just use the mixer. I'll just turn that up. Okay, language chooser is the first thing that we come to. That is obviously to determine what language we're going to install. And I think it defaults to English.
Continue button.
So let me go back.
Language chooser, table one row selected. Use English for the main language.
Okay, use English for the main language. Yes, indeed. I'm already noticing a difference in the enunciation or the inflection of the voice already. Now, this is Fred, which is the old Macintosh voice. As soon as we install OS X, we're going to switch over to Alex, which is the voice that I'll use from now on, and I'll show you that as we go here. So I'm going to hit tab, and that said continue.
Continue button.
So we're going to hit to that. And bring these faders up a little more. The volume is kind of low. All right.
Mac OS X installer, window, more information button.
Okay. This is where I think it asks you what drive you want to install it onto. So let's just tab around the window here and see what we have.
Go back button.
All right.
Continue button. Mac OS X Leopard installer.
Okay.
To install more information, Mac OS X
back
Leopard
up.
Installer.
Okay.
To install Mac OS X, click continue and then follow the on-screen instructions. To quit, choose Quit Installer from the installer menu and click Startup Disk. Read the following information before you install Mac OS X. For more information about Mac OS X, visit this website. Text.
Interesting. Okay. So, it read a bunch of stuff. And, we're not going to read this information that's all here because it is every single scenario known to man for installing OS X. So we don't really need to see that. What we need to do is just continue on because it is very self-explanatory. I know exactly how I'm going to do this as far as the procedures and what format the drives are going to be and everything. So I'm just going to hit tab.
More information button. Go back button.
Continuing to tab.
Continue button.
And we'll hit continue. Okay. It's going to bring up the next screen.
Mac interact with dialog for window. To continue installing the software, you must agree to the terms of the software license agreement.
And EULAs, we always look at these.
English. Same. Disagree. Agree
I'm
button.
I'm going to hit agree.
Dim button. Closing dialog.
Now comes the installer. Now let's see.
Local disk C button.
We're going to put it there. Now, it's called Local Disk C. I need to say this, that as a joke, when I bought the MacBook, I called the drive, which is usually called Macintosh HD, I called it Local Disk C just to be a wise ass about it.
Go back button.
So we're going to put it...
Go back, but local disk C button.
We're going to put it on... No.
Busy.
Shoot.
Mac OS X installer ready. Options button. Local disk C button.
Yes, we're going to put it on that drive. Okay.
Options button.
Now, let me scroll over here and see what we have.
You have chosen to upgrade Mac OS X on this volume.
So we don't want to upgrade. So now, for the most part, I've been tabbing through this window to get to all the buttons. Now we're going to use the VO keys, or the VO keys, as we're going to call them from now on, which are Control and Option. And we're going to right arrow through this window. There's all kinds of elements that I want to look at here. So let's just VO keys, Control Option. And then right arrow.
Options button.
There's an options button, which we'll look at in a second.
Go back button. Continue button. Blank text.
Okay.
Busy.
And there's a
Mac OS X installer ready.
Okay.
Blank text. Progress indicator. Progress indicator. Black. Continue. Go back button.
Okay. So what we need to do is click the options button.
Options button. Press options button.
And I want to
upgrade Mac OS X from an earlier version. Upgrading is not intended to remove previously installed applications or files. Moves existing system files to a folder named Previous System, and then installs a new copy of Mac OS X. You cannot start up your computer using the previous system.
Okay, what we're going to... I'm stopping talk. Let me explain this better than they can. Three types of installs. Erase and install, that's obvious. Upgrade and install, that's rather obvious. And then there's archive and install. Archive and install will move your previous... or will move your existing system, all of its files, into a folder called... previous system. Then it will install a new version of OS X, and then it will allow you to migrate everything from that previous system folder into a new or into your current brand new install of OS X. What we're going to do is we're going to do an erase and install, because I have backed up my entire system to an external volume. And so we are going to do an erase and install and let it do its thing. So let's right arrow through this here and see what the different options are.
Upgrade Mac OS X, selected radio button.
Okay, so we don't want that. I'm just going to down arrow and see if we can change, or if I vo down arrow.
Upgrade Mac OS.
Where is that? All right, let me just... find the other radio.
Upgrade Mac OS X, selected radio button.
All right, so there's that one.
Upgrade Mac archive and install radio
there's
button.
There's that one. So there's the radio button for archive and install. We don't want that one.
Moves exist. Preserve user. Import 6. Erase and install radio button.
So we're going to select that
press
one.
Press erase and install radio button.
So let me make sure that's now selected.
Erase and install selected radio button.
All right. And
completely erases the destination volume format disk as Mac OS extended journaled.
Okay, so it's format disk as Mac OS X, Mac OS extended journal. That's fine. That's what it usually is.
Cancel button. Okay button.
All right, so we're going to do
press
that.
Okay. Closing dialog.
Now. I want to double check the... we are now back in the main installer window. I want to double check that we have our proper... that we're going onto the proper drive here.
You have chosen to erase this volume and format it as a Mac OS extended journaled volume, and then install Mac OS X. All of the data on the volume will be lost.
Yes, I understand that. But I want to see what drive it is.
Installing this software requires 11.4 gigabytes of space.
That's fine.
Dimmed image.
I want to see what the actual drive is that I'm installing.
You have chosen options. Go back. Progress ending. Progress.
Let's go back over here.
Installing this software. Scroll area. Where do you want to install Mac OS X? Select a destination. Select local disk C button.
Okay, it's going on local disk C. That's fine. Okay. I'm just kind of arrowing around the window haphazardly looking for information. So excuse me if it's not in any understandable order. But I wanted to make sure that we were going to the right drive.
Tiger mirror button. Button.
Okay.
Dim button. 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 Dim button.
Oh, it's already... okay, let me...
stop interact where do local disk C button. Stop installing this software requires...
okay, so it is going to be installed on local disk C.
Dimmed image. You have option. You have chosen to erase this volume and format it as a Mac OS extended. Go back. Continue button.
So we're going to hit continue.
Press continue button.
Let's see what the next
customize
dialogue is.
Button.
Okay. Here comes the type of install that you want.
To begin installing Mac OS X, click Install. To change your installation settings, click Customize. Your computer will restart after the installation is complete.
All right, so we don't want to customize anything.
Go back, install button.
I'm just going over to the install button.
Press install button.
And there we are.
Checking installation DVD. The DVD that you are using to install Mac OS X is being checked for consistency before installation begins. 0% complete.
So we're going to get these prompts every couple of minutes as it installs. I don't know how long this is going to take. The computer is fast that we're using to do this on. It's a dual 2.16 gigahertz machine with a gig of RAM in it. So, but this is going to take a while, and I just wanted you guys to be able to be a part of the whole process and see kind of how it goes, how it operates. And we can arrow through this window. Let's see what this window has while it's installing.
The DVD that you are using to install Mac OS X is being checked for consistency before installation begins.
That's fine.
3.0% progress indicator. 3% complete. Skip button. Skip button. 3.3% progress indicator.
I'm going to leave it on the progress indicator because as it moves, it'll click. And then we know that things are moving. But I'm wondering if that's 3% of just this thing where it's checking the DVD for consistency, or if it's 3% of the whole process of installing. I'm not sure.
The DVD that you are using to install Mac OS X is being checked for consistency before installation begins.
I don't know that we need to do this. There is a skip button.
5% complete. Skip button.
We're going to skip this.
Press closing dialog.
All right, we want to actually... The DVD is fine. If I have any problems, I've got a previous install of OS X, so... Plus, I've got a Tiger DVD that I've got no problems installing, so... let me see here.
Go back. Time remaining. Calculating.
So it's calculating the time remaining.
Busy progress indicator. Installing Mac OS X on the volume, local disk C. Installing.
All right, so... This is going to be a while.
Installing. Busy proc. Time remaining. Calculating.
So it's still calculating. So, let's see. Some things to explain, maybe, about Apple for those who are new. They implemented VoiceOver, which is the screen reader that I'm currently using, in OS 10.4 Tiger. And we've seen some updates as it's gone, like to iTunes and things like that to make it accessible. And I find that it's a really usable system if the Mac was where you want it to go. There are some pitfalls that kind of drive me crazy. But they're not deal breakers. And if, the argument that always kind of gets put up is that, well, you know, it's not as robust as JAWS, and it's kind of like Narrator, and it's people that say those things that have never used it and never really sat down. to explain something to you that one time my laptop completely dropped off the face of the earth as far as being able to get online. I was stuck using my OS X machine to get online and do everything that I needed to do. This was like last December. And did you hear that click? That means that that progress indicator moved. It's moving. So let me get out of this window here. Well, let's see where it is right now, and then I'll continue what I was going to say here.
Go back. Time remaining, about 1 hour and 2 minutes.
An hour and 2 minutes.
Busy progress indicator.
All right, so we'll just...
Installing Mac OS X on the volume, local disk C. Installing.
All right. Just keep it there. An hour and 2 minutes. That's not bad. Okay, so... and who knows, that could go down as it recalculates itself. So the deal is that my laptop died, in a sense. Had to use my OS X machine for almost a month and a half. And it worked fine. I mean, it was a trial by fire for trying to get things rolling, you know, with the Mac and learning how to do everything. It was definitely a trial by fire. But I was able to update my website, check my email, surf the web, use Skype, use Ventrilo, you know, do all the things that I needed to do, you know, that I was doing on the PC. I mean, there's some software apps that weren't available, like TeamTalk, which is a program that I use all the time. And that wasn't available with under the Mac. But the deal is I could pretty much do everything I needed to do. And it was fine. It has its downfalls, like I said. There are things that JAWS is just a little more robust in. And, you know, JAWS tracks better in certain situations. And, you know, but the thing is, we're about to upgrade this thing to Leopard, and we don't know what kinds of updates we're looking at. We don't know. So we could be looking at all kinds of enhancements that people haven't really found. There's a couple of guys on the Mac Visionaries list that has already installed it and they're rocking and rolling. And as they figure things out, they're posting to the list. So it's going to be interesting to see what this is. Some people are reporting a definite snappiness, responsiveness, just incredibly snappy. So I'm hoping that that's the case. That's kind of a frustration that I've had where as I'm on the desktop and I'm going over some different icons, it tends to hang on an icon for a minute. And, you know, just some little things like that that frustrate me. But, again, we're going to see how things are. Let's take a look at our...
Installing Mac OS X on the volume, local disk,
okay, yes.
Busy progress, time remaining, about 1 hour and 31 minutes.
Oh, wow, it went up. Nice. All right, currently the installer is 10 minutes from completion. And we'll check back at 5 minutes. One thing that I've noticed, and maybe it's not to that point, but I remember last time when I installed Tiger, it would give you all these updates, or it would show you in part of the window, like, exactly what it was installing. And I'm not seeing that here. And maybe there's a button or something that needs to be clicked. But I remember seeing something where it would say optimizing system and installing core audio components or whatever it was installing. But I don't see that here. But let's take a look here and see where we are.
Busy progress indicator. Time remaining, About 10 minutes.
Still at 10 minutes. It's been kind of fluctuating between 10 and 11 minutes. So I'll check back when we're at about 5, like I said. Well, currently we're 7 minutes out. And the excitement is building, yes indeed. And that clicking you hear is the progress indicator updating once more. It'll be interesting to just hear how they've updated the introduction music and everything like that. You know, you're geeky. You want to know, what all did they do? What all cool things did they put in there, you know? So, only time will tell. Let's see, right now we're at...
time remaining, about 6 minutes.
6 minutes. And we'll check back in another couple minutes. All right, we're at the 3 minute mark. Ooh, baby. 3 minutes. And this thing will be installed. And we will see it in its glory. Let's see, are we still at 3 minutes?
No, time remaining, about 3 minutes.
Yep. So, we are just kind of... Nope, it changed again. Did that actually change the...
No, time remaining, about 2 minutes.
2 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. This is like Christmas or New Year's, you know? Tis like Christmas when you get a new OS. What I'm assuming this is going to do is it's going to... it's going to go and at the 2 minute mark it's going to restart, and then it will bring up all of the information, or it'll start the intro. So that's what I think it's going to do, unless it's got a whole other process that it needs to do. But like I said before, I haven't seen any of the under the hood stuff, like optimizing and doing this and that. Okay, that might mean it's the 1 minute mark.
Busy progress. Time remaining, about a minute.
One minute. How cool is this? Oh, hear that DVD player just chugging away. Now we're waiting. Where are we at now?
Go back. Time remaining, about a minute.
Still at about a minute. Still at about a minute. If you're listening to this on Blind Cool Tech and you want to be a part of our list to discover all the great things about Mac OS X and accessibility, go to macvisionaries.com, or as Saqib, the owner, would call it, macvisionaries.com. Go there, sign up for the list, and... you can learn everything there is to know. And as we learn it about Leopard and the things that are happening. And so, where are we at now?
Go back. Time remaining, about a minute.
It's still kind of stuck at about a minute.
Busy Prog installing Mac OS X on the volume, local disk C.
Still doing that.
Installing.
Alright, so.
Busy progress, time remaining, about a minute.
About a minute. Jeez. Well, I hear the fan kicking up. So now the DVD has stopped doing all of its movements. Maybe now it's doing all of the system optimization stuff. Boy, that fan is nice and loud. Good lord. Hoping it's not, like, locked or something.
Busy for time remaining, about a minute.
Yeah, this is turning into 5 minutes. That's all right. Oh, I heard the DVD just a tad, so it's still moving. You ever do that? You ever, like, install something or run a process or do something on a computer and you see it stick for a long time and you have that impending fear that the thing just locked up and it's not going to do the process that it said it was going to do? That is one of those internal geek paranoia bits, I think, that we deal with. So let's see what we're doing here. Ooh, I've lost control of the keyboard. I think that means that this machine is about to restart because VoiceOver is no more. Yeah, it's doing something now.
OS X installer ready.
It's doing something. Let's see if we can explore the window while it's...
Install dim button.
Go back.
Blank text. Progress indicator.
Okay, that's the right side of Black the window. Let's go over here.
Time remaining, about a minute. Busy progress indicator.
Looking at this window with the left and right arrows.
Mac OS X installer ready.
Let's take a look here.
Installing Mac OS X on the volume, local disk C.
Yeah, it's chunking away. I mean, it's no doubt. So much for about a minute. That's all I gotta say.
Restart button.
Ooh, now there we are. Let's take a look at this window here.
Go back, dim button. Click restart to restart your computer now.
Let's see what the other text is.
The computer will restart in 17 seconds.
13.
Your computer must restart to complete the installation. Image.
Okay.
Mac OS install succeeded.
Alright, let's go over here.
Click go back restart button.
Press it. Alright, the computer's going to restart. And it should boot into OS X. Leopard. So. Waiting for it to do its shutdown sequence and restarting. There it goes. That's the little Mac startup sound. Some of you have heard that a million times a day. All right, now. If everything went right, it will boot from the hard drive. And, um, bring us into OS X. Leopard. There's the core audio kicking in. What more does it do? Cool music. What if they did it in GarageBand? Okay. Now it's going to go to
Mac OS X includes a built-in screen reader called VoiceOver. If you know how to use VoiceOver, press Command F5 now to turn it on and set up your Mac. If you would like to learn how to use VoiceOver to set up your Mac, press the Escape key.
VoiceOver on. Setup Assistant. Window. Mac OS X Setup Assistant. Country and Region Table. Has Keyboard Focus.
Oh my, wow. That's the new voice. Good God. That sounds really great. And it's not annoying. The concatenation's a little weird, but all right. So now we're setting things up. Now I want to preface something here. What you just heard, that announcement where he was like, Mac OS X includes a screen reader called VoiceOver. That is in every box of OS X Leopard that you buy. That is not special for the blind. I did not buy this at any special store to have that implemented. That is in every computer you buy, every OS you purchase. It says that. So just so you're aware. All right, so here we go. Let's take a look at this this window here.
Show all unchecked checkbox. Country and region table. Interact with country and region table. Unselected. United States. United States. Edit text.
So we are in United States. That's
fine. Stop interacting with country and region table.
Now, what I've done is I've interacted with a bit of information. A table is like an edit combo box, just so that you know. The way that VoiceOver shows you the screen is very different from the way that JAWS shows you a screen. JAWS shows you a screen kind of in a way that you'd see it in a text document, all right? You'd see, like, on the top line, you'd see graphic, 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 close, cancel, save, okay. And then a line underneath it, you'd see a bunch of text, and then a button, and then a bunch of text, and a button. It'll show it to you in that kind of linear text box type fashion. OS X shows you things in a components type of thing. And you see where things are on the screen as different components. So you're kind of like, your screen reader kind of hovers over the screen when you're moving through it. In a sense that, like, this table has a ton of information in it, but you don't see that information until you interact with it, in a sense of, like, drilling down into it and see what's there. So you're kind of like getting this top view of the screen, and if you want to see something, you interact with it, and if it's a bunch of text. So let's just keep going here. Let's see what else is in this window.
Show all unchecked checkbox.
All right, we don't want that.
Do you need to hear instructions for setting up your Mac? To learn how to use VoiceOver to set up your computer, press the Escape key now.
Okay, we don't need to do that.
Go back, dim button, continue button.
So we'll press
Continue. Select your keyboard.
Select your keyboard.
Choose a keyboard layout, then click Continue. Keyboard layout table. Interact with keyboard layout table on selected row 1. US image, US, US image.
All right, I have a US keyboard. So
stop interacting with keyboard layout table.
All right.
Show all, uncheck, check, go back, continue button.
I stopped the recording after the keyboard setup for several reasons. First of all, I had a problem with the migration assistant where it wouldn't recognize my OS X clone that I had made and would not import my user settings over, so I had to do it manually. Secondly, I was having an issue with choosing a network to log on to because for some reason, I don't know if this is a voiceover thing or if this is a thing within the networking utility, but it initially shows you a table of all the networks that you can log on to. And as I arrow up through the table, it would try to jump me to the password field to type a password. Instead of letting me highlight one and then type a password, or in my case, I have mine open, so just highlight one and then sign on to it. It would assume that I needed to type in a password immediately, so it would jump the cursor. So it took me a minute, and I figured it out. It was very, very obnoxious, but it has been figured out and solved. My friend Ernie showed up, who's a big Mac fan, wanted to see Leopard. Not a fan of being recorded, so out of respect, no problem. I completely eliminated his arrival and everything. So that's what we have. You've heard the install from pretty much start to finish. Everything after the keyboard, migration assistant, and the networking part of it was then just filling out some very self-explanatory information like your email address, your Apple ID, yada-da-da, if you need to create one. And so everything installed, no problem, and everything ran, no problem. We're ready to roll. I've got all my mail boxes imported and all of my internet stuff up and running. And so we're rocking and rolling. Now, from here on out, you will be hearing from me with some tutorials on OS X. I really want to do some voiceover tutorials that are interactive. And unlike the voiceover manual that's available, where it's just a guy reading a manual, I want to do some stuff much like the JAWS instructional stuff. So be hearing from me this year on some of this. I think it's really, really viable, and I'm going to definitely do it. So as I kind of come up with an outline and things that we need to do, maybe I'll do it chapter by chapter, but you'll see something from me. Anyway, I really, really appreciate you guys tuning in to listen to this. Hopefully this has kind of opened your eyes to the coolness that is OS X, and would consider, you know, getting a Mac or at least joining the list and asking some questions and becoming a part of the community. Again, if you want to join the list, go to MacVisionaries.com. That is the list where you can sign up, and there's a couple of different lists up there, one for pro audio and one for general discussion. If you want to get in touch with me, the address is me@kevinreeves.net. That's me@kevinreeves.net. That is how you can get in touch with me. My website, kevinreeves.net, is a current shell. I'm working on building it up. I'm rebuilding it, rather. So you can go up there and say hello. It's a WordPress site, so lots of places to leave comments and interact there. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, and hope to hear from you, and hope to see you on the Mac Visionaries list. And those of you who are on the Mac Visionaries list, I hope this was a help for you. So you guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you later.
Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
All I can say is I want that voice. That's a pretty incredible voice. Welcome, everybody, to Main Menu Live, and let me bring in my co-host here, Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Good evening, everybody. We're all up and running over here.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, good. Let's give everybody some contact information. Tonight, you can call into the show, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. If you'd like to participate, Darryl, would you like to give them the information about our online presence?
Certainly. We have MSN, Windows Live Messenger, available. Add main menu at acbradio.org to your contact list. That's main menu at acbradio.org. And feel free to ask your questions through that means. You may also watch our Twitter. We'll post show notes up there. That's at twitter.com/main menu. That's twitter.com, twitter.com/main menu. We also have, are we doing the email tonight, Jeff, or not?
I do have email up, so, yep, we'll have email going.
So main menu at acbradio.org on email as well. We'll be checked throughout Main Menu Live, so that's how you can reach us. We'd be happy to hear from you.
That's right. Well, before we get into all things Macintosh, tonight Microsoft released all of the Windows Live product family, except for Windows SkyDrive. And we have a couple of things that we want to mention here. For those of you that are running Windows Live Messenger, that has been updated. So if you're using the beta, then you want to make sure that you go and get that new version. It's Windows Live Messenger 2008. Windows Live Writer. This is a blogging tool, and it's actually pretty accessible. You'll find that it works out quite nice. You have to do a little bit more mousing around with Window Eyes right now. But other than that, it works out pretty well. Windows Live Photo Gallery, for those that have some vision, maybe of some use to you. And Windows Live Family Safety, for those of you who are parents, that may really come in handy. And the last one that I want to bring to your attention is Windows Live Mail.
Yeah, now, definitely last.
Yes, yes. Now, the thing to keep in mind here is that Microsoft is using this unified installer, and they want you to install everything. And the thing to be careful about here is that if you were to install Windows Live Mail, then Outlook Express goes away. And so I think
don't
that
do
the...
It. Just yeah, watch yeah. your checkboxes.
Yeah, just watch your checkboxes.
Anyway.
I would kind of stay away from Windows Live Mail at the moment. That will change as your AT companies come out with improvements. But just be careful when you run that unified installer. That's the big warning that we want to give you.
I have some news as well.
Oh, yeah, great, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so anybody here, anybody listening, read /dot.org? Would you like to be able to... post comments, just like your sighted brothers and sisters in geekhood. Well, now you can. You can create a /dot.org account, and you can post comments. There is now an audio captcha on that. It works pretty well. You can actually gives you a lot of flexibility because you just click the link that says MP3. And you could either save or open the MP3 in your associated media player, and you have full control over it. So that's I think, really the best kind. It works real well. I've been able to create an account and test it over on /dot.org. So
good. I'll go create one then.
Kudos to that.
Yay. Anything else, Darryl?
I think that's the big news from
okay.
here.
All right. Good. Let's welcome everybody aboard here. First of all, Darcy and Holly, I haven't talked with you guys, and it seems like for ages. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good, good.
Good, it's good to talk to you again.
I know. I've been listening to your podcast, though.
Well, that's everyone good, should.
That's right. Everybody should be
listening.
You should be taking them and listening to them in the car. You need to do more of them, though.
Yes,
I know. Yes, we do.
We definitely do, and you're not the only people to tell us that. So,
yes, but this is only the first time I've told you that. So now we're going to ask each of our guests this. So are you guys on Leopard yet?
Oh yes.
You are. Okay. Well, I figured as much. Okay. Good. okay. And John Gunn has joined us. Hello, John. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty well, Jeff. And yourself?
Good. Good. Now I know from talking with other people within the Mac community that you've actually been working with Leopard for quite some time.
Well, I installed it first time last Thursday, and to my external drive with Tiger on the iBook, so I want to keep a backup. And once I got things going, did the migration from Tiger accounts up to the Leopard on the external drive. Everything went really slick.
Oh, good.
And when reinstalled Tiger or Leopard on the iBook and did the migration backwards again and or back from the external, it worked great. Well, it's kind of cool when Kevin did his installation. I've only got iBook G4 with a gig and a half. He's got more horsepower than I do, but I still did it about the same time. That's including a full erase, so I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I felt like we were going to play the Jeopardy theme there for a little while. It took quite a... I felt like I was installing Windows XP. So, well, all right. And finally we have Kevin here. Hey, Kevin.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
All right.
Good, good. So, all right. Well, I wanted to... Go ahead, Kevin.
For the record, that has been edited down. It actually took like an hour and 13 to do the install.
Oh, wow.
So I tried to get as much of the Jeopardy theme stuff out of there, but I kind of wanted, I didn't want it to, you know, I don't know. I didn't really know how to do that because I could have edited all of it out and went, oh, yeah, here it is. Now
I think in this case it was fine because it really you wanted to keep the real semblance of what it was doing because, like, for example, you could hear the progress ticks and you were getting some speech.
And I love the fact that it says, oh, you have a minute to go. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of a marketing thing because when I did it, you know, a minute might last 5 minutes. So it's a marketing
thing.
My minute did last 5 minutes.
It is accessible, though. I mean, with a lot of those things with Windows, you know, if you're lucky, you'll get a percentage or something, but... You know, at least whatever information is given is, you know, VoiceOver's reading it, and that's...
Yeah, I don't believe XP does it when it comes to the talking and stuff.
No, it doesn't. Darcy had some comments. Go ahead, Darcy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. You can actually shave some serious time off that if you go into custom and you disable, like, get rid of things like the extra printer drivers and extra languages and stuff. You can cut down on that install quite a bit if you just install what you need. But, I mean, it's good to show what a typical install would be like.
Absolutely.
That's what I wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, I wanted to give, so we're quite not all talking on top of each other here. Before we kind of take calls and get into, you know, more specific questions that listeners may have, I wanted to give each one of you an opportunity to kind of give your impression of where you think the Mac is and your impression of the new Leopard features. So let's start with Darcy and Holly, and I'll treat you two as you guys are together, right?
I suppose so.
Okay. Well, no, I didn't know if you were like in the. I didn't know if you were together or.
We're not physically together.
All right. Well, you two can figure out who's going to talk and when. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I think personally that Leopard is a huge leap forward. In a lot of ways, one thing I think a lot of people will like is the Braille display support. And what's neat about the Braille display support, if you want to use a supported Braille display, you just plug it in and it comes on and starts working. And also I haven't done this myself because I don't own a Braille display, but apparently you can do the Leopard install with Braille if you need to.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and it's really interesting because the thing about Apple is a lot of what makes things accessible is the software themselves and it, like the various programs you run, and they're always improving. Like yesterday we just got a new version of iTunes and some features that didn't work very well before are working really well now. Like, we can use the smart playlist feature, which I really like. And I think that's, you know, it just shows that Apple is continuing to work on this stuff, and it's getting better all the time. I don't know if you have anything to add there, Holly.
I like the new voice. I think that's a huge leap forward. And it takes some getting used to. It took me some getting used to. But once you speed it up, like, I have it sped up pretty fast. And, you know, I can really understand it. And a lot of the quote-unquote human-sounding voices, to me, when you'd speed them up, they'd always lose quality. Whereas this one, and you wouldn't be able to understand it as well. But Alex is really intelligible to me. And I like Leopard. I think that there have been a lot of improvements. I think, you know, they're always improving and they're always moving forward, and I think that's a good thing.
One of the things that a lot of people have been saying is that Apple has only done VoiceOver to kind of just meet the 508, you know, federal government guidelines to be able to get into the educational market and things like that. What do you guys think of that opinion that has been circulating around now with Leopard?
Personally, I think if that were the case, they would have done a lot less. Like, one of the things you probably didn't... I didn't get to hear the end of Kevin's install, but one of the things you probably didn't get to is the fact that when you first start it, you get a VoiceOver quick start. And, like, the first time... Like, if you buy a new Mac and you turn it on, the first thing you get is a human voice telling you, if you're blind and you want to use VoiceOver, here's how to turn it on, and if you want to use a quick tutorial, just hit escape. And then you press escape, you get a narrator-assisted tutorial that teaches you how to use VoiceOver. I mean, those kind of things are things that they probably wouldn't have to do if that's all it was.
Well, not only that, but Tiger was fine. I mean, it was completely perfectly accessible. So if they just cared about 508, then they wouldn't have had to do any more. I mean, it was fine before. So, you know, they've improved it. So I think that also proves that they're not just interested in the minimal requirements.
One comment on that I'd like to add. I just found out today through a contact, Apple next week will be releasing a quick get started guide for VoiceOver in Braille. It's going to be in English, grade 2. And Jeff, when you're ready at the end of the show, I'll give you the number for that. It's $29.95. Or if you want to write to accessibility@apple.com, they'll send you either the PDF or the BRF. And I think we all know what a BRF stands for. So
ready file, yeah.
Yes, it does. So there's more I want to say about that, but I don't want to. I just wanted to jump in there about, does Apple just, you know, call it a quick add-on? And I don't think it is.
So you mean a hard copy in Braille? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, embossed. The 800 number, the one that costs $29.95, that's embossed. It's a Braille.
Okay.
It's a grade 2 English.
Yeah. Cool.
So
that's pretty good. And the thing I also want to add that I always like to tell people, there's nothing quite like the experience of walking into an Apple store and being able to walk up to any computer and play with it. Like, I've never been able to walk into a computer store and just play with a computer and see what it's like. You know, that's, and any computer, I can just do that. And I think that's really important.
Darcy,
Darcy
and John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have a special guest on the line, and I want to bring him on. And the timing is sort of perfect. You know, you were talking about the Braille copy of the VoiceOver Getting Started guide. Well, here's the author.
No, I'm not the author.
You're not the author. Okay.
I'm not the author.
Hi, Mike.
This is Greg Carney.
This is Greg Carney.
Oh, Greg.
Okay. Yeah.
And now did you do the Braille production work on that then, Greg?
I did the Daisy production work.
The Daisy production work. Okay. Okay. So really, so you are kind of the author of it then, at least from an accessibility standpoint.
Yeah, I'm a producer.
Uh-huh.
I guess is what I am.
Sure.
In this particular case, the Daisy versions, MP3 versions, iPod audio book versions, Braille and PDF versions are all available from my employer's website.
Great. You want to give us that website?
Yeah. It's dot WMCnet leopardonline.org/DTBmaker. That's the letter DTB and then the word maker.
Okay.
/books/VOGS, as in voiceover getting started.
Okay. Dale, did you get that?
No, I'm going to have to get that on...
Can you
email it to you.
Okay, email us at mainmenu@acbradio.org, and we'll get it up on the show notes tonight so that people can grab that, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm the co-author of the Lewis Braille translator for Macintosh and tons of other stuff.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, good.
Excellent.
So what do you think of Leopard? I'm sure you've had quite an opportunity to play with it for quite a long time.
Yeah, I've played with it, you know, for 18 months now.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care what Apple's justification was in doing this. If Apple sat around and said we have to do it, you know, to sell computers to schools, well, so be it. The fact is they did it. It certainly is a major step forward. The Braille supports a major.
That's huge.
A huge deal. The voice is phenomenal. I mean, I sent the voiceover getting started guide to the National Library Service, you know, and got back a very positive response about, you know, kind of the first synthetic voice that could read a book that, you know, would meet their, you know, kind of their standard. And, you know, and if anybody knows, they're very fussy.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, it's the first synthetic voice that breathes. You will hear it inhale.
Really?
Yeah, and that's important.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing.
Oh, my God.
Important for understanding, because if you think about it, humans comprehend things because there are natural pauses in our speech.
I don't know if
we're always editing out the breaths and stuff.
I don't know if
audio production.
I don't know if I like my screen reader breathing.
Yeah.
it really is critical, though, for like long runs of text, like books. And I produce the entire Bible in Alex. As a Daisy digital talking book with navigation to the verse, and it's really critical when you get into these long runs of, you know, speech and stuff that you have that natural pause.
And that's the King James too, isn't it, Greg?
What'd you say?
Isn't that the King James?
Yes, that's the King James. The other versions are,
which have a lot of thous and thees and you know,
thous and thees and thines and that kind of that Elizabethan English.
Wow. And you have that for sale then, I would take it.
No, that's free as well.
Oh, that's free?
Everything is free. It's done under the auspices of my employer, and it's free.
Wow. Okay, we definitely want the link because...
Yeah, I'm going to send you a link right now.
Okay, that would be great.
We did the King James Version of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Apocrypha. We did the LDS, the Mormon Scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price.
You did? Wow.
And we did the Quran.
Wow, that's great.
And we were able to fit them all onto a single 2 gigabyte SD card that runs in a Victor Reader Stream.
Well, I have my Victor Reader Stream right here. I'll have to...
So if you want to dedicate a whole card...
Sure, why not? That's rather interesting. Well.
We did all those with the Alex voice.
Great.
And they've all got, you know, down to the verse navigation.
Great. Do you have any other comments about the voiceover getting started guide or anything on Leopard?
You know, I think the voiceover, I'm looking forward to getting a bound Braille one. I'm not a Braille reader. My wife is, and so I'm going to be getting those for her. And I understand also that the Tiger edition in Braille is also available.
Great.
The most important thing I think about voiceover, there's a couple of points to remember. One is that it's not something you've strapped onto the top of the operating system, like JAWS and WindowEyes. Every time Microsoft touches its operating system, JAWS and WindowEyes catches cold.
Yeah.
This is part of the operating system, which means that as the operating system gets updated, the screen reader gets updated too.
Right.
And so it's not a matter of having to spend, you know, $200 for the operating system upgrade and, oh yeah, another $200 to get the screen reader to work.
Sure.
$200, are you kidding?
What?
No.
Well, initial setup is ridiculously more even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to tell people that they get...
Hold on, John. Go ahead,
Darcy. I like to tell people that, you know, you pay $129 for your screen reader update and they throw in an operating system too, so...
Perhaps.
And the other thing I want to comment on just quickly is that the nice thing about to add to what Greg was saying is, you know, all of us on the various Mac lists really look forward to the new operating system, whereas I think in the Windows world, you know, with JAWS and WindowEyes, it's kind of viewed with a sense of dread.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's something we look forward to.
The other part about it is for most users, unless you have a very specific Windows type application, but for most common users of computers, they only do a very narrow range of things, really. They, you know, email, they do web browsing, you know, they have this very circumscribed group of things that they do, all of which the Macintosh will do, but the savings in cost is just phenomenal. You can buy a brand new Macintosh computer for less than what JAWS costs you. So the financial difference between the two is just enormous. Okay, those are kind of my two thoughts about it.
Greg, we're going to go ahead and let you go so we can move on here. But I appreciate your call, and actually, I've gotten getting some IMs that other callers want to talk.
Okay, I'll let you.
So no problem. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to getting that link, and I'm definitely interested in getting a lot of that content. That's fantastic news. Thank you so much.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Go ahead, Daryl. You had some questions?
Okay. Well, on the email, Beth is asking about Braille support. So what Braille displays are supported? Does it have grade 2 translation? How well does it work in your experience?
It's funny because we knew that would be asked, and so before the show, Holly and I were like, we better find out the list of Braille and Braille displays.
Mad dash to find out the list, yeah.
I did send Jeff a list. So
yeah, I've got it.
You answer that.
I've got it here. There's pretty much the displays from Humanware, Alva, and Freedom Scientific, and
the Balm.
Balm.
Optelec. And the Optelec Voyager.
Yes, so it's pretty diverse list of displays. I can post that. I could send this to the main menu blog, perhaps. So anyone, you check mainmenu.acbradio.org.
It's on the Apple site also.
It's long. It's almost every single Braille display known to man and God.
But I went over to apple.com/accessibility, and I haven't seen anything there yet.
It is there.
I think they're still updating.
It's in a document. Like, I did a Google search, and I did find a page on the Apple, like it was a document, like a support document.
Oh, because it wasn't in the main accessibility voiceover thing.
No, it's not. But, there's quite a few of them. I would have to – I mean, I don't know a lot about Braille displays, but I would venture to guess that if you have a relatively – recent one, it will probably be supported.
Oh, I'm
I think that's fair to say.
That's what it looks like.
It doesn't support the Braille notes, so if you have one of those
are the all the other really Humanware stuff, but not the Braille note, apparently.
That's interesting. I wanted to give Kevin... go ahead.
Well, I just have to wonder if there was technical reasons for that, because it seems like, you know, they're supporting all the other ones, so...
I would think it's going to come out soon. You know, they'll probably come out with some sort of a patch or something.
Oh, speaking of patches, everyone, is VoiceOver ever updated between operating systems? So, were there any updates between Tiger and Leopard?
The thing is, it's not like it's a program. Like, there's a program called VoiceOver.
It's part of the OS. Yeah,
since there's so many different components to it, you know, you'll get an update, and you know, just certain things will just be better or will just work better. So yeah, there have been lots of updates.
Let's see.
I'd like to make a comment on that update if I can.
Sure. We want to give Kevin a chance here too, but go ahead, John.
As Darcy said, the VoiceOver itself isn't upgraded, but applications within Tagger or even Leopard, and of course, as Darcy and Holly mentioned, iTunes, that made a big difference in the update. Now, what works better now in VoiceOver is the application. You know, so that's VoiceOver itself hasn't been updated, however the application has.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kevin, I wanted to get your impressions on, I know we heard your installation review, but you obviously now have had a number of days, I'm not sure when that was recorded, but you've had a number of days to probably now play with Leopard, and we've kind of heard from the others. What are your impressions? Are you happy with Leopard, and what are you thinking about it?
I'm happy with it. There's parts about it that are driving me crazy, and my biggest beef is the way in which it is deciding to read mail lists. Like when you're in a mailbox and you're arrowing up and down a list, it's like over-reading everything. So and I've gone into the columns and I've gotten rid of things I don't want it to read, but it's like reading like subject. And then it reads the subject and from, and then it reads the from. You know,
You can turn that off.
You can turn that off.
I don't know if we want to get into it now, but I think we can go through how to.
It's good to know that you can turn it off because I couldn't find it. But okay. There are little things that I'm finding that, like, why is it reading like that? But I'm sure that those are configurable. The amazing things about this, first of all, it's snappy. It's really snappy. I found the previous Leopard or the Tiger to be, even on my dual core machine, to hiccup a lot and kind of hang on an icon or on an element for a minute too long.
Wait a minute, Kevin.
This is complete.
Are you saying your screen reader hiccups and breathes? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
Tiger doesn't breathe. Tiger never breathes. This one does.
It just roars.
Yeah.
That's why it hiccups, because it never had a chance to breathe.
That's right. Now it's breathing.
the other thing that I noticed, and I don't know if this is any notice that anyone else had, but I thought that when listening to the Tiger voice for a long time, and I would use Vicky because it was the best one, my ears would get fatigued because of some of the frequencies, like in my headphones, that were, that would stick out occasionally. Like there were just some low ends that was kind of obnoxious. And after a couple of hours, I would have to take my earphones off or, you know, switch to speakers or something because it was just really fatiguing. This is a really nice, equalized sound with all the voices now. And I don't feel fatigued. I can listen to it for hours. There's a bunch of enhancements with sound placement. Like as you're clicking across the different elements, you're hearing sounds happen by like position in the stereo field now. So where images are on the screen, you'll hear a sound for an image and things like this. There's now a huge enhancement to all the configuration stuff that you can do, whereby you can now route VoiceOver to whatever sound device you want. And that's a big deal for me because I have like three or four sound cards.
Yeah.
And so to be able to route VoiceOver to maybe like my Griffin iMic or whatever I want to use, that's going to be really helpful. And so there's all these crazy little – it's all in the subtleties. It's all in the little things. HTML, I'm getting around, but I'm and I'm finding it to be snappier on the websites. I'm not seeing all of the things that guys like Gordon Smith are commenting on, where it's where and there's a blog post by Gordon Smith or on one of the lists or something about his unhappiness with the HTML infrastructure and VoiceOver, and that may be true, but I guess I'm not web, you know, I don't know enough about the language to know that it's not good enough, so I can't comment on that. I would like to see the you can navigate to headers and things, but I would like to be able to see navigating to checkboxes and specific elements. It would be helpful on a site like eBay, where everything shows up as a checkbox. So I have little things that I would like to see, but they're not deal breakers. It's like, all right, this is a journey with Apple. We're going to see some upgrades, and I'm able to, you know, conduct business with my, you know, in my daily life with my Mac. I do a lot of internet broadcasting and use an app to do that, and it's still completely accessible, except for a little minor things. But it, you know, so that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm still got a lot to do. I've been very busy with a lot of other projects and haven't really had a chance to sit down with the myriad of things that are going on with Leopard, but it was a good investment, a good $129 well spent, and I've enjoyed it so far. So
well, that's great. We have a caller, and it's Carlos Taylor. Hello, Carlos. How's it going?
Oh, good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Now, you and I spoke a little bit. I guess you have a Leopard on a box at work.
Yeah, actually, we have a Mac in our lab, and I was actually wasn't able to get a hold of Leopard on the day it was released, but I was able to get it the following Monday, so just 3 days after the release date. So that was pretty awesome.
That's great.
Get it installed. The thing that for me, this happened in Tiger too, but I just think it's so awesome to be able to install the OS, and have VoiceOver guide you through that process. I mean, I know there's ways you can install Windows, but you're not going to have speech through the process, you know. So that's a really neat thing. We have a brilliant 40 Braille display, and I went and connected that, and I was really amazed that all I had to do was plug in the USB cable, and it just came up working. I didn't have to go through any settings and configure anything.
So what is its Braille like, Carlos? Is it grade 2 or is it computer Braille? Or how is it representing?
It displays in computer Braille. And by default, if you're, say, working in a document, wherever the cursor is, whatever word the cursor is on, that word is not translated into grade 2. That's configurable, though. I do think I recall seeing a setting and the VoiceOver options to configure that if you wanted to do that or not. But by default, in the word processor, it does untranslate the word that the cursor is on. But yeah, it has great too. I'm not familiar with all of the status cells as far as, you know, how they display control types and things like that. Still have to learn that. But I've been really impressed, actually, with the work they've done.
That's great. Okay.
One thing that I have yet to see, and this is just, you know, for me, I still would like to see some, you know, how well other applications. Like, I don't really have any applications like iLife. I know that iLife 2008. Have you talked to anybody about, you know, who's had experience with that, or?
I have not. I have not, but that's a great question because it kind of leads exactly where I wanted to go next, and that is application level support. And you want to go and listen on the air, and we'll ask our panel about that.
Okay. But I just want to, you know, say that I've been really impressed for, really, considering just the second generation, you know, they've really made a huge leap in accessibility with this version. So if anybody ever gets a chance to try it who's not looked at it yet, I strongly suggest that you take a look at this and see what it's all about. It's really great to have access to the Mac in this way.
All right, great. Thanks, Carlos.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Let's see. Let's talk about application support and find out, you know, what type of applications are now being supported. For example, is iLife, you know, the latest versions of that. I think it's called, it's iLife, right? Someone mm-hmm. can, okay. So yeah. I know that's now available. And why doesn't someone pick that up while I take this call and we'll go from there?
I don't know if maybe Kevin, if you have done anything with the new GarageBand, because I've heard it's not. I haven't
it's
heard
not quite
much about
yet,
it.
But I think it's improved from. I've heard that it's improved from the previous version, but I don't know.
There's improvements, but it's not good enough. It's not going to let you get at everything. I think I saw two buttons in the dialogue that I'd never seen before. But still, it's showing everything as kind of scroll area, and you can't interact with it. So,
yeah.
GarageBand is still kind of out of the picture. iPhoto and everything like that, not sure, haven't done it. I'm going to do I want to do a slideshow this year for a wedding, so I plan to use iPhoto with some sighted guidance to get some photos imported and everything. So later on this year I'll be messing with that. Everything else I've never used because I don't do that kind of media stuff like DVD, you know, making DVDs and things, so I can't really comment. But GarageBand was my app of choice, and actually, oddly enough, from what I've heard, the previous version of GarageBand that was in iLife 05 was more accessible than the current version. I've had a couple people say that, that it actually regressed.
It is worth noting, though, that there are a lot of third-party alternatives. Like there are programs like Sound Studio and whatnot that you could use instead.
Wonderful like Sound Studio.
Yeah.
Some comments, I guess, that I've got for applications. I know that I haven't used it yet, but I know that iChat is, which is, and I guess this version, or Leopard now does support, if you, well, it's AOL, Google Talk,
Jabber.
Jabber.
Yeah, and on .Mac, you can be in a .Mac account and get an AOL, you know, and some message or whatever.
What about Messenger?
Pretty accessible. Pardon?
What about Windows Live? What about Windows Messenger, for example? Can you guys
talk
to
Messenger?
Well,
I don't know Messenger. I know, Jeff, when I did a demo last year with Tiger, I was on Skype, and I did a Fire Chat, which you can have Messenger contact with. But I do know that Skype, whatever's an upgrade to Skype for Windows, if it's on the Mac, I find actually Skype here, honestly, more accessible on the Mac with, than Windows.
As,
I'm serious.
As to MSN, though, apparently I haven't done this myself, but you can use... because Jabber can have gateways into all the various messaging systems.
Gotcha, okay.
So you can get a Jabber account, and you can get on MSN that way through iChat.
Okay, good.
Also, I think it's worth mentioning that in iChat, there's something called screen sharing, and you can access other people's computers.
Does that work?
And that actually is accessible with VoiceOver.
Really?
That is accessible?
Wow.
Well, here's we had a Mac.
Yowza.
I think we've impressed Daryl.
That's not easily done either.
And that's not easy.
We had a phone conference with a couple of days ago with some other people, and what this guy was saying, this guy's name is Ryan Dewar, and he was saying that in a sense you could do screen sharing with a voice chat to where you could route VoiceOver through this little program called SoundFlower. SoundFlower is like, on the PC there's a program called Virtual Audio Cable, and SoundFlower is the same concept. So you could route VoiceOver through SoundFlower and then route your chat input or their chat input into VoiceOver. So as you're controlling their computer, you're hearing their VoiceOver, not yours. And so, in a sense, you're literally seeing everything that's on their machine and hearing what they're hearing. So,
isn't there an easier way to do that?
Oh, there might be, but we're all new to this concept, so yeah. People are coming up with crazy ways to do things.
If I am a support person and I need to log on to somebody else's Mac to support them, is it possible without the other party having to do a lot of fiddling?
I haven't tried it, but from what I understand, you can just use the other person's VoiceOver, like turn that on somehow, and then you have access to it, as long as they're not using headphones. Then you can hear their output.
That doesn't sound too bad. Have you actually tried this, guys?
No, I haven't yet. I've been meaning to.
That's one of those things that we haven't really gotten around to. The thing is, when something's new, you know, you get a new one, there's so many things to try.
Oh, yeah.
You get distracted.
So, I mean,
I'd love to hear a podcast on that one.
Yeah, that'd be great. We have a caller.
Our plans are to do a bunch of demos, so.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, keep us in touch on that. We want to do a lot more Mac stuff this next year, so keep us in touch on that.
Okay. Well,
we
make for screenless pictures. We'll make available to you guys if you want it. So.
That'd be great. That'd be great. All right. We have a caller. Hello, Chris.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
How's it going?
Great, great. I mean, Mac wannabe. I used to use a Mac back in System 7 and System 8. And there was one thing they had rebuilding the desktop. Do you still do that, or does that no longer exist?
Gone, 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 gone.
Uh-huh.
Can I say gone? It's gone.
I think it's gone.
Really? Are you sure? Are you sure it's gone,
that's
Kevin?
The VRAM. I'm an OS 9 user, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right,
yes,
right.
It is gone.
Now, the interaction with VoiceOver, is that comparable to using the mouse when you interact with an item?
Think of it this way. Think of it like zooming in on, like, VoiceOver shows you, and I said it earlier in my install, the VoiceOver shows you, like, a bunch of elements. So
right.
Let's say you have, like, a block of text. Hello, thank you for installing, thank you for purchasing such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Please read the license agreement. Now, in JAWS, what you would see is, you would see all that block of text with all the other elements mixed in. Hello, graphic, graphic, graphic.
Right,
thank you for installing.
Right.
Okay, cancel. And it's showing you like a line full of information. The way VoiceOver shows it to you is, here's a block of text, and it says, and then you can use the VoiceOver keys to move to another element. Here's another block of text, and it says, and then here's a button, and it says, and if you want to actually interact with this text, you're zooming down, you're kind of drilling down into the screen a little more and seeing what's underneath.
Right.
And you can actually then navigate through the text.
Right.
And highlight
and you
it
do,
and copy it. And
this is
and you do
stuff.
See the screen as a sighted person.
Hold a minute. In some instances of the interaction does work kind of like as a mouse, because if you're in a slider, if it's a horizontal or vertical slider, such as a volume control, like in, I use VLC, which is the answer to Windows Winamp, you can adjust the volume control by interacting. That's so it's, in a small sense, kind of like using the mouse to some degree, a little bit.
Yeah.
This is
similar
to... The
whole idea of interaction is one of those things that it sounds really confusing, and I know when I first heard about it, I was confused, but it's very intuitive once you start to play with it. Like, it's like, why isn't everything like this?
Well, WindowEyes does have a feature where you can move by what they call clips. And this sounds like this is very similar in that...
Kind of similar.
I think it's similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot closer than anything else, I think.
Yeah. And I had one comment regarding Alex, and that was I did download from Greg's website the MP3 file, which is 50 megabytes.
Oh, okay.
And it took me 4 hours to listen to it. And there were times that my concentration would wander a little bit. And when it did, I forgot that I was listening to a computer. I actually thought I was listening to a human being.
Well, when it breathes, I mean, my gosh.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry, guys. It's just, I don't think
it's true. No, it's a great thing. It really is.
I don't know what Greg has the speed set at, but you can really speed him up quite a bit, and then you find, and he sounds, I actually think he sounds better at the faster speed. So.
Well, thank you all.
You're welcome. Talk to you later, Chris.
Bye now.
We have a message for, we have a couple of MSN questions, too.
Hey, if hold on 1 second. Darcy, if you speed it up, does he sound like he's out of breath?
No, I had a feeling,
sorry,
Jeff,
I just,
you were going to ask that question. I just, no, it actually still sounds natural. It sounds like
it does. It's really bizarre.
Wow,
it sounds natural still.
I can't believe it actually does that. That's,
you did a lot of coffee, but
yeah, wow, that's pretty awesome. Okay, go ahead.
I think
okay.
Carolyn was going
to. Christopher would like to ask. If I don't like Alex, can I switch back to Fred or to one of the other original synthesizers?
Yes,
yes.
You can.
They're all there.
They're all, like, I wondered about that, too, because I wasn't sure what I was going to think of Alex, but I find I really like Alex. But all the old voices are still there.
Very
even
cool.
All the weird novelty voices that I don't know how many of you have heard those, but, like, some of the laughing voices and the singing voices.
Why would they have bells as a voice?
I think it's just
it's used for other
stuff. How are you going to get out of it?
can't
hear what it says.
Is there a place where we can hear all the voices?
I don't know.
You guys should
not
do
a
podcast.
Website, I don't think.
You guys should do a podcast.
We might have to make.
We can put a demo
together.
Yeah, we can
do a podcast.
That would be awesome. Do a podcast
there's a
bubble the voices of voiceover.
Yeah. Sure.
That'd be great.
But don't forget to do the pipe organ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We use
some of them. Like the for screenless switchers, we have a little bumpers, like for transitions between segments, and
uh-huh.
we use
yeah.
like some of the musical ones for like bumpers and whatnot.
Nice,
so, kind of fun to play around with.
Let's see. We had a question come in on my personal IM over here about what spreadsheet applications have you guys found to be accessible.
There's one that I don't know how new it is. I've just heard about it, and it's called Tables. And I played with it a little bit yesterday, and it works. It seems to work really well. Like, as you move through it, it will say, like, you know, cell one. When you first open it up, obviously it says cell one, empty cell. And then you move through it, it, you know, tells you what's in each cell. But it seems
to have all the functions and stuff, too. I haven't played with it a lot either, but it seems to be.
And you can do, like, charts, and you can do all the things that you can do.
Wow.
And
they're accessible.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's, and see, that's one thing that's kind of cool is that the fact that it's, as I understand it, if you build stuff, you know, with all the Apple APIs, then stuff will be accessible. And this one, you know, I think it's from someone in Germany, this particular tables. And I play with it a little bit, and like I said, it seems quite promising, and people on the various Mac lists seem to like it.
That's great.
So.
I have one other question. Does VoiceOver have a scripting? Can you use, like, Apple Script? I think is it Apple Script?
Yeah, there's Apple Script, which is, like, it's not specific to VoiceOver, but a lot of the things, like a lot of the, you know, the UI things that you can do with JAWS scripting, you can do with Apple Script. And there's also another thing called Automator, which is if you don't want to learn scripting, you can, I guess, I don't know if you call it like a macro thing or what, but it's kind of
like that, yeah.
So are people
like
writing scripts?
If you want to automate things. Pardon?
So are people writing scripts then for VoiceOver?
Are people writing scripts? Yeah, there are people have come up with things.
No, I don't need specifics. I was just wondering if
yeah,
kind of like JAWS scripts and stuff like that. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it's actually what's really interesting about Apple Script is it's a very English-like syntax. Like, you can look at an Apple Script without learning the language first and have a pretty good idea what it's doing.
Yeah, Daryl,
like
you could
really
program Apple Script.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
We have
a caller who's been trying to get in.
Yeah,
so.
Well, actually, Jesse is here, and Jesse, we're gonna take you pretty quick here because we do have a caller that wants to get in. So if you can make it kind of brief, because we're about 10 minutes left here. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, guys. First of all, I just wanted to contribute to, since I heard that you guys were talking about Leopard, and uh-huh. I am a Leopard user.
Good, uh-huh.
Everything that I've basically experienced has been nothing but good so far.
Good, good. What is your top favorite feature of Leopard, Jesse?
Oh, my God, that's going to be kind of hard. Besides the new voice?
Yeah.
The Braille display, which miraculously my Focus 44 does work.
Good stuff.
So I'm proud of that. But basically almost everything, and I'm starting to like the new update of iTunes that came out yesterday.
Good, good. There was a PC version that came out yesterday.
I love Smart Playlists.
That's great.
Yeah, I love the new Smart Playlists in iTunes.
Yet, but that's for another story.
There you go.
But it's all okay. It's all good. To anyone who's thinking about getting a Mac, play around with it at the stores. Look at it. Ask questions. If you want to, just fool around with it. All in all, they're a good investment now with Leopard, I think.
Good. Okay, so, Jesse, we're going to let you go.
Right.
We're going to let you go,
guys.
So we can get the other caller in.
Later, then.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. And while we're waiting for that caller to come on, have you guys heard anything about what's going on with, say, like Microsoft Office for the Mac? Has anyone heard if that's moving in a direction to be supported with VoiceOver?
I myself, I haven't heard anything. You know, it's kind of funny because Microsoft is supporting Office on the Mac, and Mac isn't supporting iTunes on the Windows side for the most part. And interesting phenomenon about that with the Mac, it's this way the Mac has a screen reader as part of the operating system. So if the VoiceOver doesn't work, it could be either Apple's fault or the vendor's fault, not the screen reader's fault. However, in Windows, gee, it could be the operating system. It could be the screen reader.
Well, it could be anything.
It could be the app. And, well, you know, you really put a lot of things in the picture there.
I did hear a while ago a story that Microsoft was using. I think they were using some of Apple's development tools for the new version of Office. So it's, you never know.
It's coming out. I think it's coming out in January, isn't it? I could be wrong on that.
I think it is, Jeff. That's what I thought I heard too.
I think I could be totally wrong on that.
We have
a caller.
A question on this end.
Good. We have a caller who's been trying to get in, and I have her here.
We'll do that first.
And then we'll take the question. Then we're going to close the lines because we want to allow people to give contact information, and we want to thank everybody and all that stuff. Hey, Beth, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Great. A couple of things. First of all, if anybody does do a podcast on the voices, please submit it to Blind Cool Tech. I think that would be really cool.
We'll have it. We'll try to have it here on Main Menu, too.
Oh, great. That would be wonderful. And also, in terms of, and Jeff, you can disregard the personal message I left you.
Okay.
Because I didn't know if you could get it on the show or not. You can't. In terms of the news item that was mentioned at the very beginning of this show about the GPS maps, remember that, about the Sendero group?
Yes, yes.
I'm wondering if there's something in the works to do that with the Apple. I'm also wondering, I think you mentioned something called Sound Studio, and it would be interesting to know what you think of that in terms of basic recording. And my last question is, for someone who has been using Windows for a long time, aside from the cost, of course, of, you know, being so minimal as compared with Windows for Apple, what would be the lure to, come on, let's go to the Mac and just quit Windows altogether?
I've been reading
the manual a little bit, and it's really confusing. I'm open-minded, and I'm really excited. So please.
Okay, we'll try to get to all of these, but we're running out of time here.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
If you can listen on the air, okay?
Sure, I will do. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right.
Jeff, can I come on with our last question?
That's quite a bit to chew on. I'm not sure. Does anyone know anything on the map question, first of all?
I don't.
Okay. I didn't think anybody did. All right, let's take the last one because we want to get the MSN question in.
I was just going to say, one of the things, obviously, one of the things I found with the Mac is it doesn't crash like Windows does, and that's a big thing. It seems a lot more stable, and it's just that's
to me,
that's, go ahead, Holly.
To me, it seems faster too.
Yeah.
Like snappier.
Well, I have heard from people that are running XP on their Mac that XP, Windows XP, is faster on the Mac than it is on a regular PC. So
yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, that if you're going to make the jump to Windows, the one advice that I always give people is basically forget everything you know. Like, VoiceOver is not JAWS, and OS X is not Windows. So if you come at it with an open mind, you'll have a lot. Like, don't try and compare it.
Don't expect it to be Windows.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes. We have about 2 minutes left, guys, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to give contact information. We'll ask this question that Daryl has off the air, and we'll get it on the blog. Is that all right, Daryl?
Sure.
Okay. Because we're down to about just under 2 minutes here. So I know that there's the Mac Visionaries list, and Kevin, do you want to give us the details on that?
Yeah, if you go to MacVisionaries.com, or as Sackett puts it, MacVisionaries.com, you can sign up for the list. There's two of them. There's a Pro Audio list, which actually doesn't have much traffic right now, but then there's the main list, and that's what everybody's on. So go there, sign up.
Okay.
And there's also a couple other Mac-related accessibility lists, which I'm not on, so I don't know anything about them.
Okay.
Maybe these guys can speak to them. But
okay. And let's give Darcy and Holly the opportunity to promote their podcast, of course. Go ahead, guys.
Okay, well, our podcast is called The Screenless Switchers, and you can find that at www.screenlessswitchers.com. And we actually did a, actually similar to what we're doing here, we did a roundtable thing last week of talking about Leopard. And we kind of go into more detail about, you know, the various features. So if you liked what you're hearing tonight, you might want to check that out as well.
Okay,
so
great.
Also, we should mention we're involved with a project called Accessibility, which is a website about the Mac, and it sort of debunks Mac myths and that kind of thing. And it's at www.lioncourt.com.
Okay.
All one word, Lioncourt.
All right, great.
So
well, hold on, everybody. I'll be right back with you. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show here.
Okay.
Hold on. Pushing wrong buttons. I hate it when I do that. Okay. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and we'll be back next week with another brand new edition of Main Menu and Main Menu Live. We'll try to get the answers to the questions that came in over MSN to you on the blog. So definitely check that out, mainmenu.acbradio.org. Good night, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.